Let's bring up Jean.
Thank you, Kirk. Good evening. In 2 days, my husband Matt and I will celebrate our 27th anniversary. Thank you. It is awesome. We met on Christmas night, 1990, through relatives. And several months later, after we'd been dating, Matt invited me to go to London with him to visit his sister Monica, who was living there with her husband Lauren, a Scotsman. So mid-summer, we flew to London together and stayed with Monica and Lauren, and we're doing fun stuff, as you do. But for me, there was this underlying anxiety because Matt had accepted a teaching position at a university in Tacoma, Washington. And at that time, I lived in San Francisco and he lived in Sacramento, which is about 90 miles. That's bad enough. But San Francisco to Tacoma, that's undoable, you know? That's geographically undesirable. Neither of us thought we could handle it. And we hadn't talked about our situation or our future much, but we'd established that neither of us thought we could do that. So in a month, Matt was going to move to another state. What was going to happen to us? So we're several days into our trip to London, and one morning Matt announces that he's going to the Faraday Museum of Electricity. And did Monica and I want to go with him? No. No, we didn't. On my list of things to do in London, that wasn't anywhere on there, the Museum of Electricity. But Matt was fine going on his own. And so he took off, and then Monica and I set out. We got on a bus. She was taking me to neighborhoods she thought I'd enjoy in London. And we're sitting on the bus, and we're sitting side by side, and I notice her rings. She's wearing a wedding band, and then she's wearing a ring with an engagement ring with diamonds and sapphires. And I swear to you that I had never before in my life thought about engagement rings. I was a 31-year-old, straight, single woman who had never thought about wedding rings, weddings, wedding dresses, wedding hairdos, bridesmaids' dress, none of it. Why? Well, most of my friends were gay. And at that time, gay people weren't even close to getting the right to marry. So they weren't discussing weddings and stuff. And my straight friends were too liberal and unconventional to be talking about or wanting to get married. And in fact, in 8 years, I attended one wedding in San Francisco. And that was Justice of the Peace and two witnesses. I was one of them. I was only there to hold the couple's baby. So this is what I'm talking about. And they were only getting married for the medical benefits or something. And then there were, you know, I'm from a big family. There just weren't that many weddings, or if there were, they didn't inspire me to fantasize about weight. Maybe I was an unconventional person. And also, I had never dated someone who you'd call a keeper. Or they didn't think I was a keeper or something, but I'd never discussed a future with anyone. And so I sat there looking at Monica's ring and asked her about it and stuff, asked her the story, you know. And I started to get kind of excited, like, wow, I'm in the position where I could get one of those things, maybe. So we get off the bus, and we're on a busy street in London lined with shops, and we chance upon a jewelry store, and I stop and I look at all the rings. I'd never done that in my life. And Monica's taking note, and she says, you know, where we're headed, there's going to be a lot of jewelry. There's going to be a lot of rings for you to look at. And it was this wonderful open-air market stall thing, like maybe it was Portobello Road, but, you know, just wonderful art and crafts and trinkets and antiques. And sure enough, one stall after another had antique jewelry. I found out my favorite, because I love, you know, the past and history and stuff, and these rings were from like the Victorian times. You know, this great time in English literature, which I just ate up. So we come upon this one stall, this man sitting behind a table, and it's covered with jewelry, and I see the ring, and it's perfect. And it's just a little Victorian ring, gold band with diamonds and sapphires, kind of like Monica's. And it just is speaking to me. And I'm staring at the ring, and then I ask the man if I can try it on, and it fits. And I don't know where to go from there, really. I'm just kind of paralyzed, and this is all a new sensation. And Monica, all the Melters are extremely practical, logical, rational people. And maybe Monica more than the others. And just smart, rational. And so she says to the man, "Do you accept credit cards?" And he says, "Yes." And she says, "Well, how much is it?" And he says, it's in pounds. She translates it to dollars or whatever. And she turns to me and she says, "Gene, you should buy that." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Yeah, definitely, buy the ring. And I said, "Monica, I can't buy that ring." And she says, "Look, you and Matt are probably going to get married sooner or later. And Matt would not want the responsibility of picking out a ring for you. So that you would be doing him a huge favor if you just picked it out yourself." And I said, "Monica, think about this." And we're having this discussion right in front of the man behind the table with it. And I said, imagine the scenario. We're out somewhere nice. He proposes. I whip out a ring. I said, "That's just so presumptuous or something. I don't think that way now. Now I realize it would have been the right thing, you know." So it totally makes sense. It's not presumptuous. He's asking me to marry him. It's like there's no... I would have been right, in the assumption. So, but anyway, I couldn't. I just said no. And thank you to the man. Let's just go. And we walk away. And she's like, "All right, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about this." And so a week later, we're out, the four of us. Now Lauren has the day off, and we're wandering around London. We come upon a different open air market in a different neighborhood, and we're wandering around. And Monica says, "Oh my gosh, look. There's the man with the ring. Let's go see him. Let's go see if he still has the ring." So I'm very, very uncomfortable. But the three of us trot along after Monica, and she goes up to the table and she says, "Yes, there it is. There's the ring." I don't think she even thought about this. She just said it. She turned to Matt and she said, "Matt, you should buy that ring. Gene loves that ring." I am so uncomfortable, yet at the same time, pretty excited. I know this is all wrong, but at the same time, and so I said nothing. I could have intervened. I could have said, "Oh, let's just move along, something." I did nothing. And Matt turns to me, and he's got all kinds of things going on his face. And he says, "Do you love that ring?" And I say, "Yeah." And he pulls out his wallet, and I'm not sure, but his hand might have been shaking as he handed the man the credit card. And I'm sitting there still filled with all sorts of emotions, kind of, you know, shame, chagrin. And Monica's very pleased with herself. She's feeling none of these things. And I think Lauren kind of didn't get what was going on. I'm not sure how he was feeling, but... And so in a moment later, the man makes a little speech about how these very, very old rings, because it's from the mid-19th century, are so fragile you need to have them checked out by a jeweler because the gems might fall out. They need to have their prongs checked and stuff. So Matt hands me a little red bag with pictures of jewels on it. And inside the little red bag is this ring. And he hands it to me. And I take it from him, feeling all sorts of things still, and I put it in my little dorky fanny pack that I'm walking around London with, because we're dorks. And I'm just stunned, and we're walking along, and now Monica and Lauren walk ahead, and we have some privacy, and I feel bad for Matt. I feel like his sister has bullied or coerced him into something. I just feel like this didn't go down the way it should have, maybe. And so then I say something really dumb, And to this day, I cringe. And I say, you know, Matt, it can just be like a friendship ring. And he turns to me and says, I would never spend that kind of money on a friend. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story, but, you know, it was all good. And now I just want to say, Kirk, I think you know how much I love this event. And tonight is my 69th story. Now, that's love, right? And I hope I haven't spent too much time like on the stage, because, you know, 69 stories in 7 years, that's a lot. But the fact is, it's a home for people like me, people who've waited their whole lives to find a place where it's appropriate to talk for 10 minutes without any interruptions and share these stories we're just bursting to share. So thank you so much, Kirk. Yeah.